Now, page 222, the Smart Community Strategic Plan. I've got one question, but members, any questions, factual questions or suggestions, Councillor Crossland?
Thank you. And just to make it clear, I'm not actually speaking against this, but the question is really to the CEO. We seem to be getting a lot of these requests for payment for staff, but I'm also aware that we have quite a number of vacancies with surplus money in the budget. I'm just wondering why, when these initiatives are meeting our strategic plan and have passed different levels of council, why they can't be made operationally and why the CEO couldn't actually just fund this without bringing it to council.
I'm going to let Mr. Skull answer that, of course, but I do want to chip in support of the question, that it's been a niggling concern on the mayor's part for some time, but it is because the councillors set a KPI in relation to staff budget, the staff budget, that in a sense the management are trying to get around that KPI by putting the responsibility of hiring onto the elected members rather than the chief executive, which is kind of drawing us into an operational matter. So I'm not sure it's the best governance, but it does help meeting the KPI. So there's a question there perhaps for Ms. McKenzie as well. But Mr. Skull, what do you say to that? Why are we getting this proliferation of requests for additional staff?
Well, you're right, Your Worship. The challenge in the KPI is it's based on last year's actuals. And so the belief that there's lots of room in the staff budget to fund other positions isn't actually correct. You'll find that this year we're going to come in around about that 3% that we've got in the KPI, which gives us a little tiny bit of leeway. So the truth is we don't have a lot of space in the budget to put on other staff. And we have to bring them to council.
Councillor Crossland.
Yes, sorry, Mr. Skull, and through the chair, I still don't buy that. When we looked at that KPI, my understanding was that we've now made it clear that it's a rolling 5-year percentage, and the percentage that's been geared into that wage increase should take into account a gradual increase in staff to take into account projects like this, and also the opportunity to move staff where they're no longer required into more key locations to drive the strategic plan. So it's not 3% in isolation based on just last year. It's a 3% averaged out over 5 years. And I thought that had been repeated enough times to make that point clear. And so I just wonder if you could respond to that, please.
Yeah, through the chair, that was the discussion, but that hasn't been the KPI that we've been working to. I'm believing that from next year, that KPI will be a rolling KPI over a number of years, but up until now, it hasn't been. And the challenge is based on last year's actuals.
Yes, there's just...
So we don't have the budget.
Yes, it's a classic case of KPIs being the tail wagging the dog, rather than making sure that the dog's got a tail. Ms. McKenzie, do you have a comment from a governance point of view about this practice of bringing additional staffing to General Council?
Through the chair, obviously under the Local Government Act, the staffing responsibilities sit with the Chief Executive. However, in these cases where we've gone up, where the numbers are intending to go above the KPI that has been set by Council, I think it is proper governance to bring the matters before Council for Council to consider.
Well, of course, there's another alternative, and I know we're going on a tangent here, but it's a very good point raised by Councillor Crossland. The other way we could do it is to say, well, it doesn't matter whether it's management or the council that approves the additional staff, it still counts towards that budget KPI for staff. But I'm very concerned that if we did that so that we could keep an eye on labour costs, that management would be so zealous in getting under the KPI that projects would be deferred or blocked so that new staff didn't have to be put on, even though we wanted the social objective to be carried out. So it's a bit tricky and needs more discussion probably at the Review and Selection Committee, which is the sort of committee which looks at general HR policies. So I think probably we need to divert the discussion to there. But let's just round it off. Mr. Skoll, did you want to say further?
Yes, Your Worship, and very, very quickly. That's why we bring it to council. Otherwise, I'd be trying very hard not to go above that KPI. And what I'm trying to do is to bring this to council so that we're not going to get in trouble with that KPI, which I know for a number of elected members is very, very important and their whole deal.
Okay. And having said that, there has been a much greater degree of restraint, I think, in terms of the HR budget or the labour budget generally than there was more than 5 years ago. But that's a question for another day. Okay. Are there any other questions about the Smart City, Smart Community Strategic Plan, they call it? Councillor Gard.
Yes, just two brief questions, Your Worship. One is, firstly, I do thoroughly commend the plan. I think it's very far-reaching and a lot of insight to it. But my two questions are, firstly, as we move forward, is there a plan within the plan to be cognizant of ever-evolving privacy issues and debates? For example, surveillance equipment is used. And secondly, is there a plan within the plan to not substitute good old-fashioned consultation and research with something that comes to us by more automated means?
Who would like to answer that? Mr. Haridis.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Gard, for your questions. With respect to, I'll break them down, but they're probably going to be not dissimilar answers. With respect to the privacy issues, any of the items that ultimately become projects or deliverables through this plan would still be subject to all of our broader policy set. And I know there's been great focus on discussions around privacy and in particular privacy and technology. So this plan and any projects that come forward will not be immune would still have to require to adhere to those policies. So in that regard, whilst there isn't a specific reference in the outline draft, that is either something we could strengthen to make that connection point to our policy, but certainly it's not the intention of this plan to work around policy. With respect to, electronic means and smart means to convert away from traditional consultation and research, aside from, and Ms. McKenzie may add to this, requirements that we have under the Act for various activity to consult with our communities, this also isn't an approach to look at alternative means to consultation. You'll note that the three focus areas really are about looking how we make our places better through technology, how we make our operations better, and how we support our community. So the focus of this, as we start to look at the projects and come back to council, will really be about how we can drive efficiencies in operation, improve how we use utilities, for example, reduce our costs in that regard, how we can improve signage and access around our sites. And again, that's a benefit to our community. We're seeing some of that as a very immediate example now with parking at Oaklands. So hopefully, Councillor Gard, those two things, those two answers address your question and reassure you that this isn't a strategy to avoid other processes and policies we have in place.
Yep. That puts my mind at rest. Thank you.
Councillor Hull.
A question for Mr. Harides. Before Ilya started with us, there was great fanfare and trumpet blasts about the LED street lights and the capacity for smart cities with the masthead and the, I always get the terminology wrong, but the transponder, if you like, that goes in the masthead to do all sorts of magic things on our behalf. Since then, crickets. It was a big investment, and apart from the benefit of the LED street lightings, nothing else really has come from that investment. And I had high hopes, and I'm just wondering if there's an explanation for that.
Answer from Mr. Harides, is it?
Councillor Hull, thank you for that observation. I do want to get to the nub of your question, and I'm probably just seeking some further clarification if there were additional functions. Is that what you're pointing to what might happen off of the infrastructure, the street pole or the streetlight infrastructure? Because I would hazard a guess, and Mr. Shift this to other colleagues, but Mr. Lyons might have some observations, I think, been previously shared about the efficiencies that the LED light programs brought in terms of cost to the council, but I'm not sure I've got the nub of your question.
Councillor Hull, can you just sum it up in a few words, please?
Well, I saw Mr. Lyons sort of gesturing there at one point. There was a sign of interest
all right.
There.
Ask to Mr. Lyons, what do you have to say, Mr. Lyons?
Just a little bit of context that will allow either Mr. Harides or Georgie, sorry, I've just temporarily, Ms. Johnson, to respond. The LED light changes that we made, put a new LED luminaire in each of the lights on our roads. And what they had was a NEMA plug compatible luminaire that was fitted, but we didn't actually fit the plugs at the same time. So they were compatible with that. We can add them down the track at any time and use any smarts that we want with those plugs. But the LED conversion itself just changed the luminaire. And now I'll hand back to Mr. Harides or Ms. Johnson.
Yes, certainly through the chair, I'm happy to answer that. We are looking at undertaking a trial on SAPIN infrastructure along Diagonal Way at Oakland's precinct. So that will be a trial with 5 PE cells in the newly converted LED streetlights. SAPIN is still undertaking documentation and their approach around the tariffs that they're wanting to on-charge. But we've been negotiating with them throughout the process of Oakland's around how we could implement a trial to start to get an awareness of how we could roll that and scale that across our city.
Mr. Mayor, can I just highlight that this is the very issue the LGA flagged when they wanted to go a particular way with SA Power Networks. And here we are now, they're talking about tariffs and how much it's going to cost us. So, you know, the LGA had a point, I knew they had a point back then, and now it seems obvious that SA Power Networks are going to fleece us for the rights to use those lights that we installed.
Well, we're dealing with a monopoly, that's clear. But it's only got another 80 years to go or so. Any other questions? I do have one. I feel a bit sorry for the staff member whose contract finishes on 30th of June, and they're no doubt watching and waiting to see what the decision tonight will be, whether they have a job in a week's time. It'd be nice if these sort of reports could be brought a bit sooner before the end point. But the position was grant funded. My question is about whether staff have, or management have, looked into the possibility of co-funding such a position, because this whole thing with smart cities, I realise that there are slightly different treatments for different locations, but the general principles, whether it be lighting, signage, cabling, internet capability or whatever, aren't really location-specific technologies. So why aren't we doing this across other councils? And, for example, why wouldn't we approve continuation of the position on condition that the position's 50% co-funded by one or more other councils? Mr. Salmon.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. Great question. We are in early discussions with our two partnering councils, City of Charleston and City of Port Adelaide, Enfield, at a staff level. And there is enthusiasm for that, an arrangement just like what you are speaking of, but it is just early days. So I think there's a slight mention of it in the report, and we will be investigating that further. There's a process that needs to go through to become one of our collaboration initiatives internally, but there is definite interest.
Okay. Would somebody like to move a motion? Councillor Velescu.
I'll move the motion as printed, Your Worship.
Anything further? No. Councillor Hull, seconded?
Yeah, happy to second it, Mr. Mayor, but I do have great expectations.
You didn't write a novel about them.
Well, or two.
Yes, well, a tale of one city, you could call it. Anyone more? No? Well, I'll put it to vote. All those in favour?
I'd like to speak against.
Sorry. I was a bit too quick, or the hand was a bit too slow. I'm not sure. Councillor Crossland, please go ahead.
Yeah, look, for the reasons I've already outlined, the Smart Cities Program is also in our strategic plan. It's also a deliverable for the CEO. A week before this position is going to be finished. If we have no plans to extend, I don't see why it should be a council decision just to try and maintain a separate KPI. If it's important enough, then we should have planned to retain the position.
Right. Any other speakers? Councillor Velescu, you can respond. No need. I'll put the vote. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. But as I say, can staff actually make a note that this should go as an issue to the next review and selection committee? That is the KPI and the reluctance of management to take on necessary staff. Mr. Skull, you wanted to say something?
Yes, it's not relevant to the debate, Your Worship, but the staff member in question here was a secondment of Ms. Johnson, who's just gone off. George was seconded from another role and she was working here, and so I guess she was looking into this meeting to see if she had an extension in her role post June 30, but it wasn't an outside contractor that we brought in.
Well, that's, you know, that was the point. I'm pretty disappointed for her that management didn't bring this to us. If we were allegedly the ones to make the decision, why wasn't it a month ago, so that the relevant staff would know their future rather than hanging on to the final week? No, leave that as a rhetorical question. We're on to page 246. As discussed, this is pretty well a formality in relation to the representation review. We need to formally appoint an authorised person to prepare the review options paper and report. The fact is Ms. McKenzie's already well into this. So over to you, members. Councillor Pryor to move. Nothing further. Is that seconded? Councillor Schilling, nothing further there. No one against. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. And thanks for keeping the debate relevant, people. I appreciate that. Page 248, draft City of Marion Fleet Plant and Equipment Asset Management Plan. Whoa, I'm just glad we have one. Any questions before we get into it? Then would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak to it? Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak? No. Anyone against? Councillor Hull, you're against?
Question?
Well, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't recall ever seeing this plan before. Maybe it was packaged in a different label or a different manner. Would I be right in saying that?
I'll just hand over to one of the managers to comment on the sort of history of the report. For example, has it appeared in the papers for the Finance and Audit Committee?
Yeah, if I could respond to that, members would probably know we're preparing 8 asset management plans at the moment, and this happens to be our first one, and it did go to the Finance and Audit Committee at their last meeting, and the other 7 asset management plans will go to the Finance and Audit Committee in their special meeting in July. So this is coming, this fleet one is coming to members for your information before it goes out to community consultation, and then it will come back and be updated with any consultation requirements and then come back to members again for final ratification. And that will happen to all of the asset management plans.
Thank you for a thorough answer. Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we're on to page 277. I must admit, with some trepidation, we have a master plan to deal with. The Marion Cultural Centre Plaza Master Plan Review. I'll start off with any questions. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've never seen this plan before, and I'm surprised it's not been to a forum. Maybe I missed an infrastructure meeting with it in, but I don't recall reading it in any notes. Can staff just confirm that?
Again, history of how we got to this point, Mr. Salmon.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We did bring it to an EM forum. Previously, we did present the plan as it is shown in the document, along with the findings of the traffic study that were undertaken around the MCC Plaza area. I don't have the date on top of my head, but we definitely did.
One of the questions I've got following on from that was, with the various traffic options, there seems to be a predetermined answer in the sense that a no change option for traffic movements was not considered as one of the options. And there's somewhere at the top of the page, I thought, was a statement that there had to be restricted traffic to achieve the objectives. Can't find it quickly, but I'm just concerned. I know that we've got Dr. Grimm with us tonight. A number of the projects he's put forward restrict vehicle movements, but I'm just wondering why there wasn't an option for no change as opposed to which form of traffic would be blocked.
Through the chair, within the master plan report, there is 4 options which are described and illustrated. One of the options is to retain the movements on Warakawi Way as is, and that's referred to as option 4.
Oh, okay. And is that with no blockage at all?
Through the chair, that is correct. It was looking at the only portion of closure being south of Warrakowie Way towards the Westfield, which is community land.
Oh, but that's my point. That's a massive traffic blockage. I mean, either Warrakowie Way Diagonal Road or the entry from council land onto the laneway near Bunnings to the south, they're both extraordinarily significant traffic blockages. So I think I was right after all that there are no options there without major blocks to traffic. Mr. Salmon's got his hand up.
Yeah, through the chair, the blockage to the Westfield Shopping Centre is reflecting what the Centre Group had approved in their latest upgrade plans. So that was their decision to close that off at their end. We're just merely reflecting what we'll do on our end to make that a clean urban outcome, so we don't have a bit of road stuck with no connection.
So are you saying that all of the options actually have a blockage at that point? Because my understanding is that Westfield has said that they would have a boom gate letting vehicles through.
Through the chair, no, the approved plans, Dr. Grimm, please correct me if I'm wrong, to block that entry permanently. That's what they have approved.
Right. So that's all of the options then?
Correct.
Okay, and then so one option has only that blockage and the other options have more than that blockage in terms of vehicular movement. All right, thank you for clarifying for me. All right. Any other questions? And Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I remember a forum where we pretty much were all in agreement we'd like to see an avenue of trees and as green as possible. But I can't visualise from these plans which one that is. I'm not sure we've got enough information and background just to make a decision straight away like this. But I just don't know what the local ward members maybe know more than we do.
There was a good discussion at a forum and I was pretty shocked at the level of support for road closure, but democracy being what it is, I thought, well, it's a matter for voting at council. But I have to say that was many moons ago and it is difficult to remember the details of the conversation. But Councillor Hull, this is not the formal debate, but do you want to just answer that question from a ward councillor's point of view?
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. Can I deal with that first?
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
The pedestrian crossing seems to have moved on Diagonal Road. Is there a reason for that? Is that Diptai's request or it's now up alongside the aquatic centre? So just want to know why that change.
Who would answer that? Dr. Grimm, yes, go ahead.
The proposed location is associated to the Oaklands Precinct works, which is for Diagonal Road works, which have been conceptually designed and consulted. Detailed design for that portion of work is to occur this coming financial year. The location identifies it as a pedestrian activated crossing. So that's a new initiative in terms of the infrastructure and pedestrian crossing into the Warrakowie Way precinct.
Is there DIPTI support and funding for that?
There is DIPTI in principle support for the proposal. Funding is still to be confirmed in terms of contribution.
Thank you. Just to answer your question, Mr. Mayor, look, I can't fault the staff. They met with Councillor Pryor and myself. We discussed all the issues, all the strengths and opportunities with this proposal. The road closure, well, in terms of staking our claim against Westfield, that is not their road. And for paid car parking. It's not going to be a corralled area for cars to park across the front of our library and cultural centre. So we were advised years ago that we needed to take this manoeuvre. The staff are correct that Westfield, well, the Centra Group did give approval for this. So there's no issue, there shouldn't be any issues from them. And it creates that pedestrian, a little bit of pedestrian comfort in the precinct. I got a letter today that I've had for a while that went to Councillor Bowens from the GP Plus concerned about the lack of a pedestrian crossing there and having a one-way traffic. At the moment, we've got a bus coming in there. I think we still have a bus comes in there coming in the opposite direction, which is not really conducive with a pedestrian-friendly precinct. And it also gives us the scope to actually up the ante if we have special events and have a full road closure and we revert back to option two for that licensed application to hold events. And these guys, Dr. Grimm and Mr. Salmon, have done a great job in reducing the cost. This is not a fanciful project anymore, Mr. Mayor. And I know I'm taking an indulgence in speaking to the motion, and I'll stop right there.
Thank you. Well, certainly it's a decrease from the initial $7 million master plan.
Absolutely.
So that point's well made. Now, Councillor Crossland's point, are staff able to shed any light on Councillor Crossland's impressions of what this was going to be, which seems to be a lower scale than it currently is before us. Mr. Salmon?
Through the chair, we went away from the, we've had two forums in the last 24 months on this. One was the first one, we walked away with a very clear feedback from members that they wanted to see a green space, not a hard, completely paved space. So that was very well noted and included in the design considerations. As far as trees, there are a lot more trees planned in this than there were before. I can always fit more trees in, but you also got to consider the use of the space as an event space and sight lines and the like. So I think there are a lot more trees in there than the original $7 million master plan had. Certainly a lot more trees planned than there are than currently are. Of course, we could put more in, but we just need to consider sight lines. But it's a much more green space than the original master plan, a lot more lawn area. And as talked about in the report, there's still the other side of with the office rec and sport land, which needs to be considered as well, and opportunities to have more green space and trees on their land as well. So staff have considered that feedback that we heard in that first meeting, and yeah, we can always put more in. We just need to consider the event considerations.
All right, now I've got a question from Councillor Schilling. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a point of clarity and a question. This is a document that we're about to put out to consultation, correct?
Through the chair, it's a document that we want to use to start having serious discussions with the key stakeholders located around the plaza and with the Centre Group, Office Rec and Sport, the operators of the South, GP Plus, Centrelink, etc., around getting them on board with the intent of it. Obviously, it's going to impact traffic, it's going to impact amenity, and for Office Rec and Sport, you know, we want them to really partner with us on their side as well. That's the next stage that we'd use this document for. Dr. Grimm, do you have anything further?
Through the chair, just to add to that, we intend to develop a community consultation plan in the coming 12 months and bring that back to council in 2020-21. And that will inform council of obviously discussions with Office Rec and Sport and the key stakeholders and adjacent landowners, and obviously look at an integrated plan with Office Rec and Sport's land as well. So that's the intent in terms of a later date. We'll bring to council that community engagement plan and consult at a later date.
But just to confirm, we aren't finalising an option tonight, correct?
The option is, I guess, just providing design intent of the vision and objectives and what's presented there as a, sort of a talking point to refer to key stakeholders.
Okay, thank you.
I'm actually picking between options 1, 2, 3, and 4 tonight, are we? Looking at the recommended motion, we're not, are we?
Sorry.
Mr. Salmon?
Through the chair, the intent is to endorse several vision of the master plan for consultation and to seek matching funding if council does endorse the 50% funding tonight. That's the intent. To draw a parallel to another project, it's like the concept that we had for Mitchell Park before we got into the detailed design, before we had the funding commitment. It's a concept that shows the intent of what council would like to see, that has some numbers behind it, so we know it's achievable. But the next stages, if we're successful, would be to have the matching funding and then seek council endorsement to follow on with the project. And then we'd move into a detailed design phase, which would go into a lot more detail around what it would look like and the engagement.
Thank you. So I was really just echoing Councillor Schilling's question because it's an important one. The document, which has all the blue Marion Cultural Centre Plaza tab down at the bottom, and it's got the four traffic options in it, that's the whole document that you're going to take across to stakeholders, is it? It's not with one option, it's going to have the whole lot of range of options. Is that right, Dr. Grimm?
Through the master plan assessment, option one has been suggested as a preferred solution, which is illustrated on page 291 as the draft landscape master plan. And that reflects option one traffic movements.
So do you mean to say that that first document with the big nice cover on page 284, that's not the document, that's not the vision?
Through the chair, it is. That full document with the glossy imagery and the blue banners on the bottom is the full document set. Yes. Within that document, there is reference to traffic assessments and options of traffic management. However, through that investigation of design, option one has been suggested as the preferred for traffic movement. And right. That's illustrated in the landscape plan on
right.
page
291. Stop you there. So recommendation one that says endorses the vision and objectives of the draft plan, was this sort of a trick to say that we're adopting option one tonight?
As design intent for discussions with key stakeholders, that would be correct.
Okay, well, that's a big clarification. Thank you. Councillor Crossland?
Thank you, Your Worship. That was my interpretation, because you can't have all those different options and they all come to exactly the same dollar amount. That was my worry, is how can, if we're going with all these different options, how do they come to the same amount, and how can we commit to an option we actually don't know the cost of, because it's not designed?
Well, I appreciate you have to start somewhere, but what's the answer to Councillor Crossland's question there? I guess it's answered in the fact that it's not the four options that it looks like. The recommendation, as drafted, is actually option one. That's why they can attach a cost to it. So I think that sort of has been answered. Councillor Gard?
Then just drawing everyone's attention to page 280. End of the second paragraph, the preferred option illustrates, and then the heading option one, Warrakowi Way, one way northeast, exists to Diagonal Road preferred. So that's where the introduction of the one option first took place, I guess, in my mind anyway.
Yes, it shows how one word can make all the difference. Councillor Valescu?
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a couple of questions. First of all, in regards to the open space next to the Aquatic Centre, shouldn't we really be trying to get access to that space as part of this? That's my first question.
Yes,
thank you for that question, Councillor Bilescu. As has been mentioned by my colleagues, that particular piece of space is some of the conversation that we want to progress further with the Office for Recreation, Sport and Racing. It has featured in discussions to date. The state government agencies are currently reviewing their infrastructure planning as part of the South Australian Infrastructure Plan. And whilst that preliminary plan has been out talking about some of the intentions, the Office for Recreation, Sport and Racing are yet to confirm their objectives moving forward. And so I just reiterate the comments you've heard earlier this evening that we'd like to take this forward and show some of our focus and intent with our partners and use that to elicit a firmer response from the Office for Recreation and Sport for that for their open space behind the fence.
Okay, Councillor Bilescu, more from you?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, look, this seems a little bit of deja vu because I remember initially when we started this last time, the figures were relatively low. Starting around about the 2 million mark, and we're already there. So what are we doing to make sure that we don't get up to 3.5, 4.5, up to 7 million like we did before when we looked at this project?
Oh, Mr. Salmon, you've been trying to be pretty careful with the money on this. Go on.
Yeah, thank you, through the Chair. I can't comment too much on what happened with the previous project as I wasn't around. I didn't know that it started on such a low budget. All we can do is manage the scope, and as long as we don't get scope creep and bring in fancy water features and big arbors and the things that we heard from council in that first forum that you didn't want, that you wanted a lower key green space, then it should be we shouldn't get that scope creep. So unless we get asked to put those big expensive things in, we should be okay.
All right. Now, I've got one more question and then that might be it. But yeah, I found the place on pages 289 to 290. That's in the where the traffic options are discussed. And at the top of each page, it's got that big heading, strong pedestrian connections are critical to the success and so on. So I'm just wondering, is that still part of what goes out to the stakeholders, and why is that there? I'm not really
through the chair. I guess in terms of the discussions that occurred during the forums early last year, it was a strong representation around enhancing the pedestrian connections between particularly the Office Rec and Sport land and the MCC Plaza, MCC Centre itself. So there's reference to that to ensure that the objectives of the project in terms of traffic management, et cetera, are being pursued. So yes, the whole package being the blue banded document would be referred to key stakeholders as a package for consideration and discussion.
All right, thank you. Let's get into Councillor Gard, you've got one more question, have you?
It's always been a burning issue for me on this project. I think a lot of the options stood up very well, but my biggest worry is that the foot traffic from Oakland Station, the new station precinct, into the Rec and Sport areas, into the plaza, and I'm not convinced as yet, and maybe it'll develop through consultation, that we've actually addressed how we're going to influence that traffic to take the safest way. I personally don't like the traffic light system at the very junction of Diagonal Road and Morford Road. It's very clumsy and there's a lot of waiting because you quite often have to wait for at least two cycles of lights, get halfway across the road and then wait for the second cycle, etc.
You're focusing on the pedestrians across Diagonal Road, are you?
Yeah, I'm not convinced that we've got it right as to directing people via the traffic lights. And I know there's opposition to a second set of lights at the entrance of Warakawi Way, be it 1 or 2A.
All right. Well, let's hear from staff the safest means of getting people from the station to the MCC on foot. What are we aiming for there? Dr. Grimm?
Through the chair, through the Oaklands precinct work, we're currently in construction of the pedestrian cycle walkway from the station through Diagonal Way, heading towards Crew Street, with the intention to complete the works along Diagonal Way towards Trot Grove, which provides an intersection where the proposed future Chrysler Trail would connect, which is a connection, walking cycling connection to Tonsley. So that provides a node, if you'd call it, as an intersection of where you'd have a crossover into Warakawi Way. So it's a real key linkage into the precinct.
And what, through the chair, what would be the nature of that crossover physically?
Through the chair, it's proposed as a pedestrian activated crossing at present, which is a signalised intersection, but pedestrians activate it. And the proposal is for it to be synchronised with the adjacent signals on Diagonal Road and Morford Road, and obviously further south as the entry to Westfield. So it would have limited impact on traffic flow.
Yep.
All right. Looking for someone to move the motion, Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've spoken in terms of historic background to issues tonight a few times, and this is another one. This council bought all that land back in 1987, or began buying it back in 1987 and through into the 90s, with the intentions of creating exactly this, a civic hub. No different to what Playford have, no different to what Onkaparinga have around the their council chambers and the Playford Theatre. It's very similar. And it's all about creating a destination for pedestrians to feel comfortable and for people to congregate. And it may well actually help our struggling cafe succeed. And there were grandiose plans for this at one point, and I had to struggle with that, and I understand. But we've been very patient in our ward, and I congratulate the staff for whittling down the cost, and also particularly the intervention by the CEO. He's been very quiet tonight, but he has been doing more than his job on this. And Mr. Harides in more recent times with his contacts in government, that are getting a lot of people talking, which is really rewarding and may even pull off the hopes of Councillor Valescu to get into that green open space that now belongs to the State Aquatic Centre. And it's setting us up to succeed. Who knows, there might be some stimulus money out there floating around that this would be spade ready to attribute to, because there's a lot of groundwork already done on this. It is going out for consultation. And I just think that this could be the beginning of the conclusion to a major project that's been dwelling here for years, literally. And really, you'd be quite surprised how much money our ratepayers have already expended in property acquisitions and all that in those early days to get to this point.
Councillor Hull, yep, time's up. Councillor Pryor, seconding.
Yeah, just quickly, in order to start the conversation with some of the other entities around this area, we need to have a plan to go forwards with. Now, they might want to make some changes to that, but at least we've got something that we can go to them and say, hey, look, this is what we're planning for this area. So, if we don't start this discussion, then we're never going to get anywhere near that land, that the nice green space that is inside the State Aquatic Centre. So let's start the conversation and see where we go.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Carried by majority. Thank you. So let's move on to...
Thank you, everybody.
Page 379. Well, it's not a ward issue. It's a whole of council issue, really. Page 370, this is a ward issue. Solving a very difficult, probably the most difficult footpath in front of shops in the city of Marion. Who would like to move a motion? Sturt Road Shops. Councillor Hull, go ahead. You're muted, Councillor Hull.
Sorry, I believe we've already attributed money to this tonight from the stimulus money. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, council term before last embarked on city activation projects around the city. There was a number scattered around the city. And I'm looking forward to the next report from Mr. Salmon in terms of the benefits of that. And I assume the same thing will happen with this project if we actually vote for it, and that is that the smart city device will be installed. Basically, it just picks up cell phone movements to actually measure before and after a project like this as to whether it's increased the patronage to these shops. Can I ask that as a question at this point, Mr. Mayor, whether that would happen?
I'd like to speculate on that one. Mr. Salmon.
Yeah, thank you, to the Chair. We hadn't thought that far ahead as far as counting the numbers of this motion gets up, but we can absolutely do that. We've got that technology in play in a number of sites. I'm sure we can add another site easily enough.
Great. Because in principle, Mr. Mayor, what's being proposed here is really not that much different to what was done with Lampshade Cafe in Warradah. It was all about creating a place for people to go rather than having people head down to Brighton or Glenelg. And I think that's been successful. This is just another case in question. In this case, there's a hairdresser, a cafe, a alternative music shop, I think is probably the best way to put it. and there's also a furniture and clothing shop there, as I understand. Now, the really interesting part is that they've invested in a mural. They've actually attempted to set the scene here a bit in advance of this even happening. There's a sense of ownership and pride and expectations of better things to come financially for all those tenants. And
thank you very much.
This will value add that.
Seconded, Councillor Pryor. Audio.
Councillor Holmes said it all.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Question from Councillor Crossland.
Just a quick one. By the sound of it, the mural that we've set aside, 3,500, has already been done. Is there some opportunities, maybe some tree planting in that particular area ahead of the treescaping project in about 6 years?
Geez, not much room for trees on that footpath, but... Only because there's an awning from the shops coming out over the footpath to an extent.
We could do bonsai trees.
Maybe some more expensive shrubs then in the planter boxes.
Yeah, that's guaranteed, actually. Any comment from staff? Take it as a comment, Mr. Salmon.
Yeah, through the Chair, happy to take that on board as a comment. I think the mural in the budget, trying to clarify, but looking is actually for the mural on the footpaths. The mural on the wall was always to be by the owners of the shop as it's their property.
There's a mural on a footpath, won't people walk on it?
Yes. Yeah, but we can look at there's finishes you can put down that are long lasting.
All right. I've always found it strange in the cathedrals of Europe that you're walking on the graves of people and gradually obliterating their names in the marble. But anyway, if there aren't any further questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously, thank you. Onto the open space framework, page 379. Before we get into questions, just a really small typo. I'm not sure if it's meant to be an abbreviation or not, but page 440 in the bottom right box, there's a reference to the Marion Smart Com Strategic Plan. And at first I thought it was smartcom like .com, but it's meant to be short for community. Now, I'm not sure if it was a deliberate abbreviation or whether it should actually be spelled out in full. But, it probably doesn't need to be reiterated anyway, but there you go. Any questions, members? Councillor Telfer?
No, I'd just be pleased to move this.
Very well. And would you like to speak to it now then?
Yes. I appreciate that I've been able to talk and work with staff on Warrapringa Ward and think about continuing maintenance of all the minor parks. I've been pleased to look at the wording of each of the lines of all of the different pieces of open space in my ward. So I'm very thrilled that this is going to be in place over the next 7 years.
Is that seconded, Councillor Schilling? Go ahead. Question or seconding?
Seconding, Your Worship. Second what Councillor Telfer has said. I know she's taken great pride in looking at her ward, and I'm sure other members have taken pride in looking at their ward, and I've really appreciated the conversations we've had for Southern Hills in particular. Obviously, it's the ward I represent, to be able to have our say on this plan, and I really hope this gets through tonight.
Thank you. Can I just raise a question while we're here then? The only concern I really had was whether all of the community comments had been duly considered. And I note there was a very thoughtful comment, which is at the end of the, pretty well towards the end of the community consultation listed, sort of about pages 420, 425 to 428. But one of the comments that was made was that residents were only given about a week to respond. So it was curious that the online question came up halfway through the consultation period. That's one minor point, but I think it's an important point about consultation. And secondly, if residents were asked to give a yes or no, do you support the open space plan or not? There's obviously a wealth of detail, and I noted the resident's suggestion that you could give it a score out of 10, for example, which would be a more nuanced approval or disapproval of the plan. And I also note the comment that in the box on Making Marion, you can only type three lines and then you can't see what you've done. So I thought, presumably they could have emailed responses in, but I wonder if those comments could be passed on to the consultation team. Thank you, Ms. Pitcher. And what did, there were some criticisms there. I'm not going to go through them all, but for example, saying that the person reading it couldn't, and they're clearly quite an articulate, thoughtful person, but they were saying they can't work out what's going to be done at their local reserve from the plan. What was the staff response to that? Ms. Pitcher?
Through the Mayor, yes, we appreciated all the feedback that we've received on this strategic document. It is a strategic document, so we are really happy with the responses that we've received, and particularly extremely well thought out feedback. We take on note that this particular community member found it hard to find the content. I guess there are quite a few documents that make up the open space framework, which include the methodology, service levels, and the open space plan. I think it also, under each ward, we try to list all the reserves under their reserve names so that people could identify with those spaces. But we have found that community have their own names for spaces as well within the open space. So we've tried to document it as easy as possible, but happy to take on any feedback that needs to alter to make it clearer for the community.
And don't get me wrong, it's a massive step forward. Well, if I'm confining myself to the standard three questions, there's just one more I'd highlight from that same submission.
Sure.
That particular person thought there should be measurable indicators for various things. On page 427, they've listed quite a few. Canopy cover, native tree hollows, native planting beds, less reliance on irrigation over time, targets for frogs, birds, bats and bees, climate change, etc. So, and I didn't see any response from staff to that. So, what is the response?
Certainly, through the mayor. The dot points that are described on page 427, one of the first dot point there is in relation to canopy cover and shady trees. I believe this is seen outside of the open space plan through their environmental department and the heat island mapping that they have going. So we haven't provided that response within the table. We always look to retain native trees and hollows. We have a large deposit of trees at the Southern Depot that we incorporate back into all of our open space reserve development upgrades. And I guess that in relation to the native plantings that could be seen under the natural landscaping plan, that we're introducing native species back into the areas. As far as targets and measures in place, there currently isn't anything to measure that within the open space plan itself, but something that we encourage and will be happy to include in open space developments moving forward.
Yeah, it just seems to me that those sort of concerns might well be expected by residents to be found in the open space plan, but I completely appreciate the answer. They might be in other silos around the council, but this plan, for example, could at least refer to the targets or the measures in other plans if they're relevant to reserves or something. It's a big step forward. Ms. Deans, did you want to comment as well on that one?
Within the strategic indicators and environmental policy, there are targets about increasing canopy cover and some sort of carbon offsets. So we do have some of those targets set, but you're right, they are in different plans.
Okay. Right, thank you. Any other questions before we move on? We've had a mover and a seconder. No one opposing. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Was against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you very much. So another big step forward in the agenda. And I'm just having a look to see what might usefully be moved on block, because the Marion Village Museum report, members, that's just come back to us because staff were given a date to bring back a report, but I understand discussions with the relevant community people are ongoing, so that the substantive report is somewhat delayed. So probably, or somebody might want to move the Marion Historic Village Museum progress report, finance report, work health and safety, and questions taken on notice register all together. Councillor Telfer, moved en bloc? You can speak to any of them if you wish. Seconded. Councillor Velescu. Any questions about any of those? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a question about the WHS hazard and near miss reporting on page 470. Now, we're trending down with our hazard and near miss reports. Those things are very different for me. Reporting hazards is a good thing. Reporting near misses is perhaps something a little bit less good. So, I mean, it's a bit of a tough question for right here, but does anyone have an idea about how many hazards we're reporting versus how many near misses we're reporting?
Who can answer that? Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, I can't answer it off the top of my head in regards to the breakdown of hazard versus near misses. However, I guess one of the trends that you'll see, obviously March, April and May, is that we've actually had less staff in the workplace because not obviously a large proportion of our staff have been working from home. So this may also be an indicator in regards to why the numbers are trending a little bit down in that space.
Yeah, I guess if I was working from home, that would raise the number of hazards I'd need to report, I reckon. But just interesting thing for the future. I'd like to see perhaps some data, maybe separately, not in a council meeting's fine, just about how we're handling near misses, because near misses, that, you know, says a bit more of an alarming sense to me than a hazard report.
Certainly a relevant part of a hazard report. Councillor Hull?
Thank you. Page 458, the irrigation. There's no way that I can see how council can fulfil its obligations in terms of meeting targets. Members would remember that irrigation was quite a sensitive issue with us a little while back, where we were lobbying on behalf of certain residents to get reserves re-irrigated, switched back on. Now, I'd like staff to explain with irrigation why, not that we need it right now, I know it's pretty wet out there, but that can change very quickly in South Australia. Can somebody explain why that, you know, right through the year we're really being below par on that?
Right, Mr. Lyons?
Members, you'd be aware we've chatted about it a couple of times that we've now got a cross-council irrigation construction team. So that's with the cities of Port Adelaide, Enfield and Charles Sturt and ourselves. And so that team of five people has been rotating around the councils doing the work, and we've had them for a patch and we haven't had them for about 6 months, and they're working on our irrigation installations right now. So a lot of their work is actually happening in May and June, and they'll be invoicing us at the end of June to complete their project. And we anticipate full completion of the irrigation program, perhaps with a little bit of underspend, but it will be fully complete.
How can we get it turned around so we get our work done before the other councils?
And that's an excellent question. We did have to delay one this year because we rescheduled one of our projects, and because we rescheduled it, we then went to the end of the list. And so we got the June construction. And so next year we've been able to schedule our irrigation projects earlier in the year.
Thank you.
Well, that's good news. Mr. Scull, anything to add?
Thank you, Chair. I can assure you, Councillor Hull, that we're working fairly with the councils. And if we are on the end of the list, we'll still get our work done in the scheduled time. So it's actually very democratically done.
Okay. Any other questions? Then I'll put the motion, those four items moved en bloc. All those in favour, raise your hands. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we note the questions on notice, including several dozen bus stops to go in the City of Marion area. I imagine there'll be more to be heard about that. So that brings
just to, Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question on that? There's a lot of bus shelters.
Yes.
There's a lot of bus shelters that won't have any obvious purpose anymore. Does that mean that we've got the responsibility of removing those bus shelters?
That's a good question. Who on management is going to take responsibility to look into the consequences of bus stop removals and what it might mean for shelters?
Yeah, that's me, and I'll need to take that on notice and get back to you about whose responsibility that is.
If that could be listed in the questions area, thank you.
Yes, Ms. McKenzie's right on to that. And that takes us to the end of the public meeting. I was just checking. I think, Ms. McKenzie, that's right. So we'll call an end to this meeting, and in about 2 minutes, commence a confidential meeting, or that is to say, we'll commence it with a motion to move into confidence, to be right. Is that right, Ms. McKenzie?
Mayor Hannah, do you want to do the motion to move into confidence whilst we're still in the public arena?
That's a good idea. Actually, We could, because if we're going to do this practice of confidential items at the end of public items, we could actually do the covering debate for all of the confidential items. It was one of my concerns last time that it was a contentious move into confidentiality, and yet the whole thing is kept from the public record. That is to say, the debate about going into confidence. So we could quite rightly move those motions now and then simply address the substance of the issues once we go into confidence. So, members, I'll take you to page 480, sorry, what is it? Page 487. That's right. Motion about the Mitchell Park sports redevelopment. Clearly there are some quite precise commercial figures in there, so there is, on the face of it, a justification. Would anyone like to move that motion to go into, to have the debate in confidence in relation to that item? Councillor Schilling moved that way, and Councillor Masika seconded. So all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, and that is carried unanimously. And now, members, I'll ask you to go to page 480. Oh, where is it? No, it's page 489. So this is in relation to a particular reserve and negotiations that are obviously commercial in nature to an extent. So would someone like to move that we debate that issue in confidence? Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, hand. All those against. Yeah, that is carried unanimously. So for anyone watching the live stream, we're concluding the public meeting and we have just resolved there are two items which we will then deal with in confidence. So I'll sign out of this one, and in about 2 minutes, let's recommence. Thank you.